Well, at the time, the NAACP was, it was rather hard because the black community was afraid of it. And, you know, nobody really wanted to get involved. Everybody was scared maybe they might get hurt.
That's Sarah Staton, who's 83 years old. Staton is one of the only women left to tell the story of how she and a handful of other women led the NAACP's efforts to desegregate Franklin County schools in rural Sewanee, Tennessee. Sewanee is the home to the University of the South. It's a mostly white college town with a population of 2,000 people.
I don't know. People just scared. Well, I guess I was just one of those people. You know, I didn't fear too much, and I wanted it. I thought it was right. And so I went forward with it.
When the NAACP started its Franklin County branch in 1958, Staton worked tirelessly on top of her university cleaning job to make sure her seven children would not be stuck at the county's all-black schools. The Supreme Court had ordered desegregation of schools nationwide 4 years earlier, but the schools in Franklin County still hadn't been integrated.
Our books were 4 or 5 years behind the white children's books. And at a one-room school, what can, you know, kids all together, and they wasn't learning nothing much. And it was just ridiculous.
Staton wasn't the only mother in the county who was outraged that her children's schools still hadn't been integrated. Emma Hill, Dora Turner, Johnny Fowler, Mickey Marlowe, those are just a few of the women who volunteered their time to do community organizing while still working at full-time jobs. Most of the women worked in the service industry, at the university cafeteria, at cafes, and cleaning white people's homes.
Women sometimes get a hard time, but women are smart as men. Maybe we are smarter if we had a chance, you know. Some women, not all women. But, you know, when a woman decides to do something, usually as a rule, she'll get it done.
And it was another female civil rights leader, Septima Clark, who urged Fowler and Marlowe, along with one white man, Scott Bates, to form the Franklin County branch. Clark did teach-ins at Highlander School nearby in the all-white town of Monteagle, Tennessee. Highlander had a then-radical agenda that included training activists like Rosa Parks. We Shall Overcome was adapted from a gospel song there in 1947. Sarah Staton remembers meeting King at Highlander.
It was really something. You know, here are people who battling against a struggle, and you almost felt like you was going back to the days of Harriet Tubman, and you know, it was just wonderful. That's what it was. It was just wonderful. You're somebody really struggling and fighting for what they believe was right, and even though he gave his life, he got a lot done before he went.
Here's a soundbite from a speech Martin Luther King gave at Highlander.
You have given the South some of its most responsible leaders in this great period of transition. And so I am happy to congratulate you today for all of your great work and hope for you many more years of creative and meaningful work.
One of the things King worked on was enforcing Brown versus the Board of Education, the 1954 Supreme Court case ruling that all schools be desegregated nationwide. Highlander and the NAACP began teach-ins and letter-writing campaigns to make sure local school systems enforced the law. By 1962, the Franklin County schools still hadn't integrated, so the NAACP decided to file suit against the Franklin County Board of Education. Well-known NAACP lawyers from Nashville, Avon Williams and Alexander Louvey, were the lawyers on the case. Four black families and four white families volunteered to be the plaintiffs. Sarah Staton's family was one of the plaintiffs, and she still remembers testifying.
Well, to me, it was not hard because I was telling the truth. And it really didn't bother me to get up there and tell it because I was really telling what really was happening. You know, I wasn't adding or subtracting. I was telling exactly what happened.
Another plaintiff was Emma Hill, known around town as Mama Emma. Hill lived in Winchester, a town which didn't have the support of university allies who believed in the civil rights movement like Sewanee did. Hill passed away 5 years ago, but her daughter, Juliet Larkins Tatum, now 57 years old, remembers people in town gave her mother a hard time for being involved, especially in the suburban Winchester neighborhood where the Hills lived on Old Cowan Road.
We used to have people riding in front of our house. We lived kind of on a dead-end street, and at the end of our street was a lake, a creek now. And they would ride down there at the bottom of the hill and come back and throw debris in our yard and call us names. And it would be white men on trucks and stuff. But it never stopped her. It just made her more determined.
Larkins Tatum says even black teachers gave her mother a hard time.
And they resented her meddling in the affairs. You know, a lot of people felt like she should leave well enough alone. You know, we got this black school. She should be happy with that. But she never was.
After 2 years in court, a federal judge from Chattanooga decided to obey the Supreme Court's ruling and ruled Franklin County schools should be integrated the following fall. Two of the black teachers were even hired at the integrated Sewanee schools. At 12 years old, Juliet Larkins Tatum was one of the first students to attend an integrated eighth grade at Clark Memorial Elementary School.
But at first, it was very uncomfortable. They were told that we had tails and we had different body parts than they did and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of it was curiosity. We had a couple of teachers, and they would get to the part on slavery, and they wouldn't call us Negroes. They would all but say the word, you know, the N-word. And that's all they would have on our history.
The first year the school was integrated, 1964, Larkins Tatum says she was the only black woman on the basketball team. Every time a player swished a basketball through the hoop, the school played the so-called anthem of the South, Dixie.
Oh, we used to hate that. You know, you hit 2 points and all of a sudden you hear that, you know, and people just get all in, you know, look away, Dixie. Oh, we hated that. We didn't wish we were in the land of cotton.
Things finally did get better for black folks in Sewanee and Winchester. Black men and women who had previously been turned away from the lunch counter at Kuhn's 5 and 10 cent store got served. Churches, blood banks, and swimming pools were desegregated. The NAACP, despite a dwindling membership, even got the Arnold Air Force Base in nearby Tullahoma, Tennessee, to hire black men and women. Now, Sarah Staten says the NAACP isn't doing much, but she's still a member.
You go back from the time of Abraham Lincoln. It's been a long time since he fought to free the black. But, you know, all through the ages, there have been people who stood up for what they believe was right. And I think it will continue to be that way. At least I'm hoping it will be. That, you know, that my grandchildren will see a different world from what I grew up in. I think we all have to believe in it. We all have to fight to keep it right, and I just hope by passing on to my kids that some things that worth having are not so easy. Sometimes we have to fight for what is right, but that's just the way I feel, and I'm just hoping that a lot of other people will feel the same way.
For The Takeaway, I'm Abby Swanson.